Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
As you stand there now, we also greet the back hallers also. The people are also in the back hall, so this place is completely packed. And there's also then the audience in the back hall. So let's greet the audience in the back hall there, everybody. Amen. Amen. God is good. You may be seated. Thank you very much. As we begin our journey, I went with Maud. We took like 4 days leave and spent a little time in the Kruger National Park. And it was then also with a purpose, I believe, because nothing in this world can distract you from being in the will of God. And while traveling through the Kruger National Park, we came to an area, they could just show that picture, where it was actually towards sunset in the afternoon. This is the area between Satara and the Olifants camp. And I was looking at the grass waving softly in the wind. There was clouds, the sun was shining through brightly, and yet we see the grass, and I began to think of these fields. Soon they will be flooded with birds, swarms of birds and quillias. And I began to think after that how this is this great creation that we live in, this enormous creation. And at the same time thinking of this day, which is Good Friday, Sunday morning, the powerful Resurrection Day Sunday service, and Sunday evening Resurrection Night celebration with Pastor Clive Gopal as the speaker for Sunday night. So driving there, I began to see all these birds, the quillia, and then you see all those other birds, the European rollers, and so we go on, different birds and eagles. You typically have the battalier eagle, you know, making circles in the sky. They fly up to 400 kilometers in a single day, those birds, amazing birds. Enjoying nature, and I thought, how's this? All these things were created. All these things by one creator. And I began to think of these things, and my mind went back to those days when my friend Professor David Block came to me and he sat down. Every bird has got a different sound, a different nest, different plumage, different colors. Every insect, every animal, even types of animals, they all separated, and there were herds and herds. Never seen so many animals in the park, I don't know, at one particular visit on one particular day as that particular day. And here in the moment when it was silent in those grasslands, I thought of Professor David Block and our discussions. He would arrive there and he'd have a large image of the Andromeda galaxy and discuss with me when the galaxy M132 went through, or the M32 went through, clashed with Andromeda and went right through it, and you see like a ripple on the surface of the water. I began to think very deep, and we discussed dark matter in space and things like that. I began to think of the vastness of the universe that we are not able to comprehend. The great creator put it all there. So as we look at this day of the Good Friday, this day of the crucifixion, this day when the ultimate sacrifice of the ages and heaven and earth, everything stood still. Both angels and the forces of hell, the devil and his demons, both God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, everything in all the universe pointing to one spot. And then I thought of the things that this creation that were created by him, as we'll go along and say, all contain. To give you an idea, to get my figures as straight, really as accurate as I can. In this universe that surrounds us, if you go outside into the galactic sea, the cosmos of the galaxies and billions of stars, estimated there are approximately 2 trillion galaxies with up to 300 light years across in size. 2 trillion of them. Furthermore, how it is that everything is so orderly out there. It's more orderly than sometimes in the kitchen or in the homes of some people. It's just so orderly, so precise, unbelievable. And then we use the Milky Way as our model, and we multiply the typical amount of stars per galaxy. Then the absolute answer of how many stars then after the galaxies. How many stars are out there contained in these galaxies and furthermore even outside the galaxies? Of course, all of the entire universe, there are dust particles everywhere in the universe floating around, not just in the nebula. And so then I see that if you take the stars alone, you make an estimation, there are approximately 2 billion trillion stars in the universe. If you started counting now, you wouldn't even be able to get to that number. And if we look at our own galaxy, we're like 93.016 billion light years in size, the Milky Way. So you see the diameter of that. Measuring these vast, vast numbers of space, going into the depths of space, then you see the Virgo cluster of stars out there. You go beyond the Oort cloud, you go through the sea of the cosmos, you get out there, and you find the Virgo group, which is so massive that there in itself there are billions and billions of galaxies. And then those, I'm not even saying planets that could be surrounding those galaxies. And like, you know, it's just moons and planets around the stars. And we look at, if we go even further than that, outside of that is the Laniakea cluster, which is even more. It is so powerful, the Laniakea, out there before you get to the outer space, the unknown part of the unknown. When you go past the unknown segment, you still get the Laniakea. And the Laniakea is just that powerful that it influences the entire creation, even to here where we are. This entire universe, massive, massive, massive. And you know what? I need to perhaps just read you some things here. And you know, if you know the Bible tells us by him all things were created that were created. So who is this person by whom all things were created? Who is he? So we look at his names. And if you will, then titles. People sometimes like titles, particularly in the church world. A title equals not anointing of the Holy Spirit. But who's his titles? That matters a lot. He's the Almighty One. Revelation 1 verse 8. He's the Alpha. And the Omega, Revelation 22, 13. He's our advocate. 1 John 2, verse 1. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2. He's the authority of God. Matthew 28, 18. He's the bread of life. John 6, verse 35. He's the beloved Son of God, Matthew 3, 17. He's the bridegroom, Matthew 9, 15. He's the chief cornerstone, Psalm 118, verse 22. He's the deliverer, 1 Thessalonians 1, 10. He's the faithful and true one, Revelation 19, verse 11. He's the good shepherd, John 10, verse 11. He's the great high priest, Hebrews 4, verse 14. He's the head of the church, Ephesians 1, 22. He's the holy servant, and that is in Acts 4, 29 to 30. He's the great I am, John 8, 58. He's Emmanuel, Isaiah 7, 14. He's the indescribable gift, 2 Corinthians 9, 15. He's the judge of all the earth and all creation, all things, Acts 10, verse 42. He's the King of Kings, Revelation 17, verse 14. He is the Lamb of God, John 1, 29. He's the light of the world, John 8, 12. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. So that he can open the scroll and its seven seals, Revelation 5, 5. He's the Lord of all. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. He's the mediator. between us and the throne of God. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. He's the Messiah. John 1:41. He's the mighty one. Isaiah 60:16. He's the one who sets us free. John 8:36. He's our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. He's our peace. Ephesians 2:14. He's the prophet. The prophet that Moses spoke about. Mark 6:4. Deuteronomy 18 verse 8. He's our Redeemer, Job 19:25. He's the risen Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. He's the Rock of Ages, 1 Corinthians 10:4. He's the sacrifice for our sins, 1 John 4 verse 10. He's the Savior, Luke 2 verse 11. He's the Son of Man, Luke 19:10. He's the Son of the Most High God, Luke 1:32. He's the Supreme Creator over all. Colossians 1:16-17. The resurrection and the life. He is John 11 verse 25. He is the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. He'll go in and find pasture. John 10 verse 9. He is the way. John 14 verse 6. He is the word. John 1:1. He is the true word. The true vine. John 15 verse 1. He is the truth, John 8, verse 32. He is the victorious one, Revelation 3, verse 21. He is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Can you give Jesus a praise offering right now? Amen. It is amazing if you look at all of these titles and you say, who is this that created all things? I'm so glad you asked me that question, because now perhaps I'd be able to read you some verses here from the Bible. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God. This in Colossians 1:15 from the Amplified. The visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, the originator of all of creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities. All things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed and is before all things. In him, all things are held together. He's the controlling, cohesive force of all of creation, as the Amplified says, the universe. He's also the head, the life source, and the leader of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. For it pleased the Father that all the fullness of the deity, the sum total of his essence, all of his perfection, all of his powers, all of his attributes, dwell permanently in him, in the Son of God, through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through his blood, the blood of the cross. Yes, the blood of the cross, that through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, everything known in creation, both seen and unseen, principalities and powers, angels, fallen angels and demons, everything God created, from the throne of God, the heavenly city Jerusalem, the eternal city of heaven. When we move to that place, we might get a gist of what is this. For our entire galaxy and all of its history are just a whisper in time when it comes to the Almighty God. In this world, when I was at university, we looked at these things. And in this world, it is so that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. We do not have a comprehension. Jesus came, the Son of God. And as we learned in my days, he was limited to a body. And he had the Spirit, John 3:34, without measure. He came to his own, and his own knew him not. He was despised. He was rejected by men. It's what we're talking about here today. He's the great creator. He was the creator of Abraham. Abraham made a covenant with his great creator, the creator of all things, the son of the living God. I could go on with his names and titles. I have some beauties here right in front of me. But if I look at this whole thing, we say, Father, in heaven above, be glorified this day in this place. For in the beginning, John 1 was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When he walked amidst us, he was in a body like unto us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, Hebrews 2:14. And so that it says there, inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the sin of the same. That he likewise partook of the same, that through death, he might destroy him who had the power over death. Past tense, had the power over death, which is the devil. Now Jesus holds the keys of life and death. Can you say amen? We're going to shift again, and we look at the covenant, and we go to John 19 and 17. If you have a Bible, you may turn there, and we can read through this together. As we focus on Jesus Christ, with the world out there, those people of the world, people that know not God, on a holy day like this, they do anything else. They run around everywhere else because God is not. They without God, without hope. The splitting of the time of the ages, this covenant, the resurrection from the dead. Wow, what an important weekend to every believer that lives. My goodness. This is the high holy day of the ages. The blood of the Lamb was flowing as we are busy preaching here. And he, John 19:17, if you will, with me. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha, the skull place, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on the either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross. And the writing was, Yeshua HaNazareth, Vemelech Yahudim, YHWH, first letters there in that section. Then many of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You can also say, look at that title for a moment, as in the Amplified, Jesus, the Savior, that's what the meaning of his name is, he who saves. The Savior of Nazareth, King to be praised of the Jews. They said, don't write that. Then many of the Jews read the title in the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. John 19:21. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews, said he. John 19:22. Pilate answered, what I've written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Christ, took his garments and they made four parts, each a soldier to a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. Can preach about that one. And then they said, therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now they stood by the cross, verse 25 of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. He would accompany her and finally to her home and dwelling place in the city of Ephesus on a high hill like a mountain there. And that's the area there where they point out the tomb of Mary. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now therefore it was the preparation day, that day, bodies could not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. For that day was a high day, a high holy day. And this day is still exactly the same. To the count from the cross, 9 o'clock in the morning. We're very close, if not the same as Israeli time. Just where you get there is just the daylight savings time, their winter period, summer period. But now I think it's like we're just the same time as Jerusalem. This time, 2,000 years across, the span of time, which really is nothing. Here on earth, he would dwell in a body, be crucified to the cross. But once raised from the dead, he was limitless. Immediately, he filled the entire creation. As he came out of the grave, they taught us that at the university, never shall forget that. When he took on his glorified body and ascended to the right hand of the Almighty God the Father, at one call, he went beyond the Lanakia cluster to the entire observable universe, and he spoke about the outer darkness. He also said in his word, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." If you behold the universe and you see those giant nebula like the clouds, like the Tarantula cloud, that is just a dust cloud of about 160 light years across from one point to the other. And you look at also the Horseshoe Nebula, the birthplace of these stars, the stars coming out there all the time. "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Is anything too hard for the Lord to do if we pray to him? Is there any answer to the Lord that we could give and say, "Our Lord"? Well, I think of this one here, if I can get it fast enough, of the prophet Jeremiah 32, where he says in verse 17, "Ah, Lord, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." That's why we say it. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a proper praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think stand up for a moment, do a proper job. Give the Lord a good praise offering in this place. Hallelujah. Let the world know on the Good Friday that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. He's the resurrected. The resurrection and the life. He's our reason for living. He's the life that we have. These verses, if I look through them, and I think Ephesians 3 verse 9 says these words, "God created all things through Jesus Christ." When he spoke about the outer darkness, you must know that's a place of desolation. When a soul is cast into outer darkness, there is zero light there, because the Creator calls it darkness. He controls all these things. They all consist the Greek word there in Colossians 1, 14 and on. In him all things consist. In him the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Those things consist the entire creation, visible, invisible. Principalities, powers, you name it. Everything is held together in him. Now once he leaves the earth in his resurrected body, the most amazing thing is he becomes exactly what he was right from before. Bereshit Elohim Arba. In the beginning God. Bara. Created. Shimanim. Shimayim. Chayeretz. The heavens and the earth. The most amazing thing. I'm riding in the park. And I'm thinking, out of all of this, what's that one figure that I read you? It is just an amazing thing. If I just look at that for a second, and I see here that there are approximately 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. We can get into some cosmology here, but we're not capable of even seeing what Abraham, when he looked up at the stars, and God said, so will your descendants be. Now, on the right hand, at the right hand of the Father, he's no more limited to what we call the space-time continuum. He's there, he's here, he's now here. In the physics of non-physics, if you go beyond life, after life, it's a great study. The laws of the physics of non-physics. I had quite a discussion with Professor Block on just that very thing. Steered it towards that. And he was very interested about just that. And dark matter in space and all the magnetic forces. But if you look at this, if you see this, how is it that we cannot even comprehend in this vast universe billions and billions of trillions of stars, what with still planets and asteroids and other things? Neutron stars, very dangerous. If you think of all of that, he chooses. A little blue dot in the expanse called planet Earth. Now, you know, to me, this is just absolutely, you know, I'm looking here at a picture of the Voyager 1. It's the man-made, quite computerized, semi, I would say, intelligent, but like something out there that's functioning. It would take, by the way, 22 hours for the light from that flying space missile, if you will, that Voyager satellite, it'll take 22 hours for light to get to us now. 22 hours. It's now gone into the intergalactic sea. But I look at this, and it's a picture of the Earth. Carl Sagan, the astronomer, said, turn the satellite around. For the last time before he loses contact, let him take a picture of the Earth. Yet this huge galaxy, they're still counting our galaxy stars. And in it, there's just a little blue dot. And you see it on this galactic scope here, as I'm looking at it in front of me. I'm thinking, that he would prepare so precisely, Dr. Dennis, so precisely, so accurately, so powerfully, just this one spot. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By him all things were created. In him was the life, and the life is the light of us sitting here and all mankind. He holds your breath in the palm of his. You consist in him, knowingly or not knowingly. You know, I very often think, you know, when people drift out, I was talking to Pastor Alex Pappas yesterday and I was saying to him, you know, it's just when people drift out, they drift out with their lives. They're going in the wrong direction. They find themselves sometimes, but they don't know that someone is busy steering their lives if they committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And they believers and they're born again. They're passing through a wilderness. What in the world are we doing in a wilderness? What in the world are we doing here fighting Amalekites? What in the world are we here at the waters of Marah? What in the world is it that now we find ourselves somewhere in the wilderness, seemingly in a tough spot, seemingly in a place of drought? I was there. I passed through that place. Seemingly going nowhere, yet without knowledge, he was steering them all the way through that wilderness. He was steering them. And let me tell you something today. He's busy steering your life if you believe in him. You might find yourself in a position where you say, Lord, what am I doing here? Why is it so wrong? Why is everything going wrong? And listen, nothing stays forever in this space-time continuum. All things will change and go away. Even your problems. I'd like to go through all of these things, and I'd like to read all of these things, but I want the image behind me to change now as we get closer to a place called Golgotha. In a moment, we're going to have communion. And while these communion elements may now be brought forward, and the punishment of our peace was upon Jesus, and by his stripes we're healed, and we commemorate this incredible, most wonderful, most loving God. 1 John 4 verse 8 and 16, God is love. The Bible says the love of God propels us. It energizes us forward. Love that we know as Christians. We belong in the house of the Lord. You didn't just come here because of any other reason, but he brought you here this morning. Do you believe that? You consist in him. Now give the Lord a welcoming in the house of the Lord. And you know what? I don't know if it's possible at the back. I hope so. But I want to look at the picture behind me very quickly. This is Israel. It is a picture that my daughter, my eldest daughter, did for me. I've always called this the greatest picture of my life. On the right hand, we have a skull. You see the nose. You see the two eyes. And if you look lower at the formation of the stones, maybe on the side screens, you'll even see teeth on that skull. And here you have the grave of Jesus. And on the right hand here, this part that's dark, I think it would be dark there, that's the place where they lay him. And there's a writing there that Charmaine put in there for me. He's risen. He's not here anymore. You go to Jerusalem. You go into that tomb. You spend a moment there. You see where they lay him. And as you walk out the door, on the door, there's a notice. He is risen. He's not here anymore. Jesus Christ, conqueror of death, of hell, of everything. Now, my dear friends, if I have the time, and I would believe the time, can they play me that video that I wanted them to play? Please play it. I've just taken this Sandy Patty that sings, and we put together some little montage from The Passion of the Christ at this time before we serve the communion.
Down the Via Dolorosa, in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street. But the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating that was stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the triste día en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver al que llevaba de la cruz. Por la vida dolorosa es la vida.
Dedication in terms of we take the communion. While you receive the communion elements, listen carefully to the words here of the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks for his own body on the cross, he broke it and said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And every prophetic verse in the Bible tells us it could happen now at any time. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let each one in this building today and behind in the other hall and all those over the internet consider yourself very carefully. And so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now for this reason, many are weak among you, and many sleep, or as it says, literally are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, then wait for one another. As we bow our heads for a moment while they're still giving out the elements, we wait for them to conclude. I want you to pray about your life. I want you to really pray about your life. How was your commitment to your Savior? In you, you consist in Him. Every atom, every cell of your body is held together by His life. If you pray, His life floods your life. His light, His power, His Spirit. Think about it. Come into unity with the Son of God. Think about it. Let your life be hidden in God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus, forgiven of all your sins, and be assured, be sure right now that He will forgive you if you repent of all forms of evil. Ask Him to wash you in His blood. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God that passes all understanding, making a difference between you and every born-again believer of all of the ages and the people of the world that live in absolute ignorance. May God forever bless you in those things that you need to know about in His Word. Everybody say these words after me while you bow your head. Doesn't matter if they're still giving out the communion elements, it's fine. But just pray in any event. Just say, Heavenly Father, I've been born with a sin nature. You've come into this world, this gigantic creation, enormous in its size, to just visit with me. I am greatly honored. I pray that you forgive me every sin of my lifetime, now and for the rest of this life that I'm still here on earth. My life consists, is held together in you, by you, for you. I am yours. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. The punishment of my peace was upon Him. By His stripes, I am healed. In Him, I have the forgiveness, namely, the remission of my sins by His blood. That means the cancellation of my sin life by the power of the blood of Jesus. I am alive now. I'm crucified with Christ. I live no more. Christ lives within me. I belong to you, Lord. On this Good Friday, I ask you to forgive me any way that I've neglected my relationship with you, my devotion to you, the reading of the Word, and prayer. I consecrate myself to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's take the communion elements and say, the punishment of my peace was upon Jesus, and by His stripes I am healed. In Him I have the redemption, namely the forgiveness of my sins by His blood. I thank you, Jesus. I receive it right now. mercy, forgiveness, in most gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's partake. When you say Good Friday, it indeed is a good day. Resurrection Sunday, he sees the birth of the church. Pentecost, also on a Sunday, sees the church born by and large in Jerusalem. Now the church age begins. From that moment in time, you're walking now. Jesus, I tell you, is coming soon. And I believe with all of my heart, he's got a future for you and for this nation. Do you believe that? All stand, everybody. That's right. That's right. Let our praises reach the throne of God. Let our adoration and our worship go all the way to the Most High God in heaven above. Blessed be the name of the King of Glory, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the cross. We are changed today. We rededicate today. We recommit today. We are your body. We're even the bride of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. Grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God, the Almighty Father, God the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, who is here to this day, thank you, Father. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Shake a hand and say, blessed Good Friday.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.